Good morning. My name is Dekitria, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the NBPE investor call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Vonleh. You may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to the NBPE investor update call. This is Peter Vonleh, and I am joined today by my colleagues, John Boozer and Doug Manner. As always, the presentation we'll be using today is available on our website, www.nbprivateequitypartners.com. NBPE had a good year in 2010 and a good start to 2011, so we are pleased to be able to walk through this information with you today. As you know, NBPE is managed by Neuberger Berman, an independent global investment management firm with $190 billion of assets under management and 1,650 employees globally. Neuberger is majority owned and controlled by 300 senior investment professionals and manages assets across equities, fixed income, and alternatives, including private equity. Here at Neuberger Berman, we have a fully integrated approach to private equity investing, focusing on fund-to-funds, co-investments, and secondaries. Our firm has been a private equity investor for more than 24 years, and we manage over $11 billion of commitments in private equity. We have 170 private equity investment professionals globally and serve over 150 institutional investors in addition to managing NBPE. So turning to NBPE in particular, and you can see that on page 3 in the presentation, NBPE has a broadly diversified private equity portfolio valued at approximately $514 million, as of February of this year. That's composed of 78% of funded from fund investments and 22% from direct and co-investments. NBPE has a tactical asset allocation approach with 39% of its net asset value in special situations, distressed, and yield-oriented investments. We believe NBPE is well-positioned in the current market environment, with over half of our NAV having been invested in 2008 and later at what we believe has been a good time in the market cycle. We have also been actively pursuing new investments, particularly direct and yield-oriented investments. Turning to page 4, last autumn we announced a series of strategic actions to enhance shareholder value. We are pleased to announce that the execution of these actions is on track and already beginning to produce results for shareholders. Earlier this year, we completed the last of the sale of 8 large-cap buyout fund investments at an aggregate 5.1% discount to NAV, generating net cash proceeds of approximately $100.5 million and releasing NBPE from $22.5 million of unfunded commitments. We've also been executing on our capital return policy. Since October of 2010, we have repurchased 685,000 shares, which has been accretive to NAV per share by approximately 5 cents. NBPE expects to continue to use a portion of the asset sale proceeds to repurchase shares throughout the first half of 2011. Importantly, this is not just a short-term activity, but going forward, NBPE intends to continue to return 50% of the realized net increase in NAV attributable to the ordinary shares for each six-month period. We've also been increasing our allocation to direct and yield-oriented investments. And since the beginning of 2010, we have committed approximately $50 million to 17 new direct and co-investments. We look forward to talking to you about each of these points in more detail, and with that, I'd like to hand over to my partner, John Boozer, who will walk through some of our financial results. John?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So if you're at page 5, you can see some high-level statistics for NBPE with on the right-hand column where we started 2010 with our 2009 audited numbers. The middle column is where we ended 2010, so 1 year's of progress, and then additional 2 months, February 2011. And I think you'll see as you look through these numbers two major themes, the first of which is we've had a good year in terms of investment value appreciation with an increase of 11% in the NAV per share. And secondly, as Peter mentioned, the secondary sale has been completed. And as a result, our cash position has substantially improved, giving us the ability both to pursue the capital return policy and investments in this investment environment. The main numbers that you'll see impacted by our activities for the last year, if you go to the third line down, you'll see our total private equity fair value has decreased 534 from 535 to about 513 today. That's as a result of the upswing of the value of our assets and then the downswing by virtue of having sold the portfolio in the strategic asset sale. That leaves us at 97% today invested in private equity, a number that we intend to increase as we spend down the cash we've generated through the secondary asset sale. The second thing you'll see, the proceeds of the secondary asset sale have been used to change our cash position dramatically. You see at the start of the year we were at 63.9 of cash and equivalents and right below that 65.8 borrowed on the credit facility, so basically a zero net cash position. Today we have a strong cash position of $80.9 million, so the ability to continue, as Peter mentioned, in the capital return policy as well as additional investing in this environment. And then finally, the bottom row of numbers, the NAV, net asset value per share appreciation, started last year at 946, 1038 it grew to over the course of the year and has continued to grow in the first 2 months of this year to 1050 per share of NAV. So good progress across the board for our fund. If you flip on to page 6, this is a pie chart we've shown before, and what it indicates is the diversification of our portfolio as well as the tactical asset approach that we followed. You can see the largest exposure is by asset class is 39% to special situations and distressed investments, and the next largest is 34% into the mid-cap buyout spaces. These are areas where we continue to focus looking for excellent investments. Flipping on to page 7, as Peter mentioned, we are attractively positioned and a large portion of our capital has been invested in what we think is a very good time in the market. You can see in that pie chart the year of investment of our various investments that make up our current portfolio. The 2008, 9, and 10, good investing environments for us, have over 55% of the capital currently invested from those years. If you flip on to page 8, you'll see how our tactical approach to asset allocation has been implemented from year to year. If you look at the bottom two pie charts in particular, you'll see capital that was deployed in 2008, which represents today 28% of our fair value, 58% of that was in special situations investments, and 25% in mid-cap buyout investments. Likewise, if you go to the pie chart in the lower right, which is the deployment in 2009-10 and the first couple months of 2011, which collectively represents 27% of our fair value, the special situations distressed area was again the largest at 52%, and combined with the mid-cap buyout, 71%, almost three-quarters of all the dollars invested. So we've very much focused our investing over the last really three-plus years to tactically allocate the portfolio to properly address the current marketplace. Page 9 shows the portfolio activity in terms of cash flows. The bar chart on the left are the capital calls and direct co-investments, the dollars that we've invested over the last 14 months. And on the right are the distribution sales proceeds, the dollars that have come back. The big orange block on the right are the proceeds of the strategic asset sale. And you can see if you eliminate that block that the cash flows from investing versus cash flows from dollars coming back from investments have been roughly equal across the portfolio. So the strategic asset sale has opened up an alternative pool of capital for us to reinvest and pursue what we think are excellent investment opportunities currently. And those are described on page 10, some of the things we're doing with that additional capital. We've had a focus and an increasing focus on direct and yield-oriented investments in the portfolio. We have a great team to work with us to make those investments within NB Alternatives. The senior members of our co-investment team have 75 years of combined experience and includes being former lead investors at small and middle market private equity firms. One thing we do differently than most co-investors is we focus on strategic minority investments rather than a significant focus on the large syndicated transactions that are come out in the marketplace. We look for opportunistic investments, so it's not just investing at the outset of a buyout transaction, but it's also investing in subsequent rounds such as add-ons, investing in recapitalization rounds, and also investing in restructurings of companies. So we're looking for all sorts of private equity opportunities that we think present the best investment risk for us and investment opportunity. Finally, we do great diligence as if we were the lead investor in each of these. We do bottoms-up analysis on every investment, and we very much focus on the exit opportunities, and we attempt to identify those transactions for investment which we think will have the earliest exit opportunities. We have a very sustainable deal flow, over 790 deals reviewed in the last 5 years, as you see. And finally, we think it's a compelling market opportunity right now, and compelling economics that we're able to invest with. The direct co-investment capital is needed. Competition in this space is limited. Having a large pool of capital devoted to this that NBPE can invest alongside gives us access to premier deal flow. In addition, these co-investments are generally made, and almost exclusively made, I should say, with no fees and no carry from the underlying private equity fund, which lowers the fee and carry expense that NBPE incurs. Pages 11 and 12 illustrate specifically what we've done over the last 2 years in the co-investments as well as in yield-oriented investments. So on page 11 are the buyout co-investments. We've committed since the beginning of last year to $25 million of co-investments in 12 transactions. You see there's a wide diversity of companies represented, includes government services companies, includes technology-facing companies that, for example, focus on the growth in mobile communication build-out, focused on network security. And we have consumer-facing companies, both cable company as well as J. Crew, a recent co-investment. And we also have energy services companies as well in our portfolio. So a diverse group of companies that we selected to include as co-investments in the NBPE portfolio. Likewise, on page 12, we've added $24 million to five new yield-oriented direct investments. Those five companies, or five investments, I should say, have an average yield to maturity of 14%. You can see the top three of those are each royalty notes. A royalty note is an investment that is secured by the royalty stream off a particular drug that's already out in the marketplace and has consumer acceptance as well as medical acceptance. And we have cash sweeps where all the dollars that come in are swept to repay our royalty notes. So we're like, in effect, a first lien holder against the royalties that come off the sale of those drugs. We think this sort of investment will help keep current yield high in the portfolio, and it's investments that we can analyze each drug and make a decision as to the likelihood and the efficacy of the drug as well as the speed of repayment of those. So those are some of the recent co-investments and direct investments that we've done, and we expect to do more co-investments and direct investments along with primary investments as we continue to build out the portfolio. So with that, I'll turn it over to Doug Maynard.
Thank you, John. And turning to slide 13, you can see an update on NBPE's valuations. We continue to be proactive and transparent in terms of the information we get out to the marketplace and to you, our investors. The pie graph on the right, you will see this is the valuation date of the information that's in the February monthly report. 93% of the valuations were as of December 31st or later. And we continue to have nearly a third of the portfolio valued on a monthly basis, where we're updating the mark-to-market prices of debt securities within credit-related funds as well as public equity securities in the portfolio. On the next set of slides, we'd like to go through the largest investments in the portfolio, give you a sense of what is in the portfolio and how it's performing. So on slides 14 and 15, we have an overview of the 50 largest buyout investments in the portfolio. Now, to give you a sense of the framework for this portfolio, the 50 largest buyout companies had approximately $165 million of fair value at year-end, representing 31% of total private equity fair value and 58% of the buyout fair value. And overall, these 50 largest companies are performing at or above expectations within the portfolio. 40 of the companies, representing 85% of the value in this analysis, are valued at or above cost, and 10 companies, representing the other 15% of fair value, are valued below cost. Now, within the buyout investments, it's really bifurcated between your traditional private buyout companies as well as, you know, non-traditional other buyout investments. So on the left column, there were 33 investments in the portfolio that are private leverage buyouts within traditional industries valued at a multiple of cash flow. In this case, we're using LTM EBITDA as of either September 30th or December 31st, primarily as of December 31st, based on most recent available information. There were 33 traditional buyout investments with approximately $108 million of fair value, representing 20% of the total portfolio and 38% of the buyout fair value. And in summary, these traditional buyout investments performed quite well throughout the year, with LTM revenue growth of 12% and EBITDA growth of 19% on a weighted average basis, and were valued at approximately 10 times LTM EBITDA with 5.3 times of leverage. Now on the right describes the other investments that make up the 17 non-traditional buyout investments. This includes power generation companies, financial institutions, and publicly traded securities. Those 17 companies had approximately $57 million of fair value at year-end, representing 11% of the portfolio and 20% of the buyout fair value. The seven privately held financial institutions performed very well throughout the year. These seven companies had $25 million of fair value, and they grew their book value by approximately 16% over the last 12 months and were valued at 1.27 times book value on a weighted average basis. The four power generation assets were primarily valued at a price per kilowatt hour of generation capacity, and these are more asset specific and have kind of non-traditional valuation metrics. There were six publicly traded companies within the 50 largest, and these investments also performed quite well throughout the year with a 20% total return during calendar year 2010. Turning to slide 15, this is a graphical illustration of the 33 traditional buyout investments broken out by industry sector. And there's a lot of detail on the page. I won't go into all the specifics, but to give you a sense, the blue bar represents the revenue growth, and the gold bar represents the EBITDA growth over the last 12-month period. The triangle and the square represent the valuation multiple and the leverage multiple, respectively. And so across the portfolio, you can see that the portfolio did perform quite well. As we continue to monitor the portfolio and meet with the underlying lead sponsors, one thing that's clear is that, you know, clearly the companies benefited from a better economic environment with top-line growth, but importantly, all the operational enhancements that were put in place throughout the financial crisis and the downturn really proved to be positive. As you can see, with almost all the industry sectors, the EBITDA growth was much higher than the revenue growth. So every dollar that comes in is additional EBITDA coming into the company due to margin enhancement. So going from left to right are the largest sectors, and you can see the fair value exposure within each industry sector and the number of companies included in those. And I think it's important to note that this is based on the 50 largest buyout investments that were in the portfolio as of year end. These investments have continued to perform well. In fact, three of the companies representing $25 million of fair value have since been sold, and were all sold at or above valuations reflected in this analysis. That includes two of the energy services companies and one of the healthcare companies. Additionally, two of the companies representing $9 million of fair value have generated realized proceeds since the end of the year through refinancing transactions. This includes one of the technology and IT companies and one industrial company. And finally, there was one company representing approximately $1.5 million of fair value that has since completed an IPO since the end of the year, and this was one of the communications and media companies. So with that, on the next two slides, we'd like to provide a little more detail on the special situations portfolio, which, as John mentioned earlier, is the largest component of the private equity portfolio at this time, with 39% of the private equity fair value, or approximately $198 million. Importantly, as I noted earlier on the valuation slide, 30% of the total portfolio within this special situations asset class are revalued on a monthly basis through credit-related funds, or they're in the yield-oriented direct investments such as the ones John covered earlier. So we're getting up-to-date valuations on this portfolio and getting a sense of how it's performing on a monthly basis. By strategy, the largest component within the special situations are the distressed debt investments. These are primarily undervalued and debt securities purchased by the trading and restructuring funds within the portfolio. And then 13% of the special situations investments are in the yield-oriented directs. On slide 17, this is an overview of the 25 largest special situations companies as of the end of February. The 25 largest investments represented approximately $63 million, or 32% of the special situations fair value and 12% of the total portfolio. The largest component of this are the five yield-oriented direct investments that we funded to date. John went through a few of these earlier, but in total, this portfolio includes second lien debt securities, royalty notes, PIK preferred shares. They have a weighted average yield to maturity of 13.6% with a leverage multiple of 2.9 times based on the leverage that is senior to the security held by NBPE. The remaining components of the special situations portfolio include the undervalued and distressed debt securities that makes up eight companies with $20 million of fair value, as well as restructuring positions and operational turnarounds. On slide 18 is just an update on NBPE's strong capital position. As John mentioned earlier, NBPE is in a very strong position in terms of having excess cash currently. As of the end of February, NBPE had approximately $80.9 million of cash and cash equivalents, and importantly had the full undrawn capacity of the credit facility with $250 million. In January, NBPE paid off all of the debt outstanding under the credit facility and now has approximately $331 million of capital resources to cover $112.8 million of unfunded commitments, as well as any new investments that we're making. So as of the end of February, our private equity investment level stood at 97%, and the commitment level stood at 118%. So with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Peter to cover NBPE's performance in the marketplace.
Thanks, Doug. On page 19, you can see the share price and the NAV per ordinary share for NBPE. While we've been pleased with both the continued increase in NAV for NBPE as well as the positive market response that we got from the announcement of the strategic actions that last autumn, very frankly, we've been disappointed that the discount of the stock price relative to the NAV per share has not narrowed more than it has. And narrowing this discount will continue to be a significant focus for us in 2011. On page 20, you can see one of the questions we're often asked concerns the liquidity in NBPE stock, and some of the facts regarding that. During 2010 and in the first 2 months of 2011, the cumulative trading volume of NBPE stock on both the Euronext and the LSE has been approximately 7.6 million shares. However, there's been an additional 2 million shares traded over the counter that is not included in these exchange volume numbers. This means that the exchange volume stated on most systems actually understates the actual trading volume in NBPE. And in fact, most of the larger trades in the company's stock have been done in these off-exchange blocks. Turning to page 21, over time, NBPE has repurchased 3.8 million shares, or approximately 7.1% of the original shares that NBPE issued. And this includes the 685,000 shares that the company has purchased since the new buyback program was launched last October. In total, the share repurchases have been accretive to net asset value per share by approximately 48 cents, and the share repurchases since last October have been accretive to NAV per share by approximately 5 cents. Importantly, we expect to continue to use a portion of the strategic asset sale proceeds to repurchase shares throughout the first half of 2011. And after that, we will be implementing our ongoing policy of returning 50% of the net realized increase in NAV attributable to the ordinary shares in each six-month period, and taking that capital and continuing to return that to shareholders in the form of stock repurchases, dividends, or whatever other method the board believes most appropriate at the time, but very much want to be sending the message that that's our long-term policy to continue to repurchase shares, return capital, and rather than this having this just be a short-term initiative, this is a very much a long-term focus for the company. On page 22, you can see the price performance of our ZDPs. The ZDP shares have consistently traded at a premium to their accreted value since their offering in late 2009, and the GRY is currently 6.5% based on the prevailing market price. You can also notice that there's been meaningful volume consistently in the ZDPs, particularly in relation to the issue size. In summary, we would just like to point out that we believe that NBPE continues to offer a compelling value opportunity for investors. NBPE has an experienced investment manager with strong long-term track record, a high-quality private equity portfolio, a strong financial position with capital available for new investments as well as for returning capital to shareholders, and we continue to be very focused on enhancing shareholder value. With that, we'd like to open it up to questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from Louisa Simington with RBS.
Hi, Peter. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Louisa.
Hi. Just a quick question on the cash balance. As Doug mentioned earlier, you do have significant capital resources at the moment, but I just wanted to get a better understanding of how much cash you're actually looking to put to work over the course of this year, and how the investment level of the company, so which is 97% at the moment, might progress.
Sure. Well, the amount of capital we put to work will be very much based upon the opportunities that we see. And that cash will be used for both making of new investments as well as for implementing the capital return, the return policy. So, but it is the intention of the company to go and make use of the capital we have available to us and not go and have large amounts of cash sitting around dormant. At the same time, though, we don't feel a rush to put it to work. So, you know, if there were a lot of good opportunities, we'd invest a substantial portion of that very quickly. On the other hand, if we don't find the right opportunities, we're happy, you know, holding on to it or using it to repurchase the shares. So, it's not a set dollar target in terms of the actual dollar deployment there, but it is our intention to have an investment level above 100%. On the company here, particularly because just when we calculate the investment level, we're calculating that conservatively there, and we're treating the ZDPs as a liability in that calculation, even though, you know, the ZDPs, there's no cash required to be repaid on the ZDPs until 2017.
Do you have a target level of gearing that you would consider to be optimal?
We've talked over time about having investment levels sort of between 100 and 120%, you know, sort of a band, but that's sort of not something that's a hard and fast rule on either side, but rather sort of a normalized sort of level across cycles.
Okay, and just one last question, if I may. Just thinking about the capital return that might apply to the first half of 2011, can you give any color as to, I know it's quite early in the year, but as to what that might be?
We have not given a specific dollar amount. We actually, you know, we obviously, in terms of what the size of that pool of capital is, we've actually gone and as you know, you know exactly how many shares we've repurchased to date since October at 685,000 shares. The reason for us not giving a specific dollar number there is very clearly really just because we think it's in the best interest of the shareholder to not give the specific number because we don't want people sort of, you know, frankly trading against the company in the implementation of that strategy. But there is ample room for additional purchases in the first half. And as you know, Louisa, actually, it's the other side of your firm, RBS, that's actually executing on that for us on a day-to-day basis. The actual day-to-day purchases are not done by not decided on by the company, but rather on the RBS repurchase desk, where we've allocated a pool of capital given broader rules. But it's actually a stock repurchase desk at RBS that's making the day-to-day trades. Those are not decisions we're making. And that's to comply with relevant securities rules for the various exchanges.
Your next question comes from the line of Ian Scala with Oreo Securities.
Good morning. It's Ian Scala with Oreo Securities. I was wondering if you could just give us a bit more detail on performance segmentation by different asset classes. And I'm looking at slide 26 in the presentation. So, I mean, the special situations portfolio, I mean, in terms of the year to December 2010, I mean, can you just take us through how that's performed, how mid-cap buyouts perform, growth venture, and how you expect some of these segments to perform in the current year?
Sure, sure. The good news is that things were up. If you look from December 2009 through to where we are today, everything's up really sort of across the board there. You can see nice increases in this. In exactly as you mentioned, Ian, this is on page 26. Is a good place to look there in the appendix to the presentation. You can see a meaningful increase in the special situations portfolio during 2010, and that's actually continued in the first 2 months of 2011. As Doug mentioned early on, the special situations portfolio is the one that we actually get more monthly marks. We get monthly marks on a substantial portion of that, so that's more kind of real time in terms of the valuations that one's getting. So that we expect the special situations portfolio consistently to be more real time in terms of the reporting there, and especially then between quarters to actually continue to change month to month because of the way those are marked. But we continue to be positive about the opportunities in the special situations portfolio. The mid-market buyout portfolio, you saw we had a nice increase during 2010. A relatively small change from December to February. That's mostly driven by, the point made before that, on traditional buyout assets, you tend to get investment information more on a quarterly basis, and so those tend to move more on a quarterly basis. But as you could see from the operating metrics from the buyout portfolio that Doug walked through, the operating performance of some of these companies is doing very well. Actually, some of those companies were actually even sold post-December 31, and we continue to be positive on the opportunity set in the mid-market buyout portfolio. The large-cap buyout portfolio has clearly been the laggard of all the asset classes, and frankly, though, the relevance of that, while it's gone up, which is positive, the relevance of that portfolio has that portion of the portfolio has decreased materially, given the fact that we sold, $100 million of large-cap assets, in the strategic asset sales. So, frankly, the overall performance of large-cap buyout portfolio will not be highly relevant for the portfolio prospectively, certainly much less relevant than both the special situations and the mid-cap buyout portfolio. And the venture growth portfolio continued to perform well. That's mostly through the couple of growth funds that MBP is direct investment in, but mostly then due to the venture growth allocations inside some of the MB Alternatives Fund of Funds, the MB CrossFirst Fund of Funds products that we have exposure to, and those have continued to perform well. And then the CrossRoads 17 is one of those fund of funds that's well diversified across across asset classes and is composed of components of each of the other asset classes, but we just list it separately as a diversified portfolio. If you look across the board, everything was going up well, but in terms of the areas that we think we have positive views on prospectively are particularly special situations and the mid-cap buyout. John, Doug, any additional comments you guys would like to make on those points?
Yeah, just to the specific question of how we would see the portfolio performing going forward, obviously we're not going to prognosticate specifically, but in terms of the market in general, the credit markets are pretty available to companies for doing transactions. And we see across all our portfolios, a lot of our general partners focusing on exits from their portfolio in this marketplace. So I suspect we'll see, as we saw in the last 14 months, substantial both cash coming back from investments as companies are sold. As Doug mentioned earlier already, five of the top 50 having returned cash in the first 2 months of this year. And also we'll see investment opportunities for capital to go out as well.
I agree with that completely, John. Actually, just one additional point that might be useful for the analysts and other people sort of looking at our portfolio. We currently have, $24, $25 million in direct yield-oriented investments in the portfolio. and we actually state what the yield to maturity is on those investments, you know, from our holding value. And as that portion of the portfolio increases, it will be relatively easy for all of you to predict what the change in value, you know, what the increase in value of that portion of the portfolio will be over time. You know, obviously assuming that there isn't a credit event with anything in those portfolios, but you know, we'll be giving consistently. We'll be reporting what the yield is on that portfolio, and so that'll just provide greater transparency and predictability for all of you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Michael Stern with Marin Capital.
Hi there, gentlemen. I had a question about the focus on yield. Given that we're in an extremely low-yield environment and it seems like rates could only go up from here, my question is, in particular, are the investments you're making, the royalty notes, for example, fixed rate or are they floating rate? If they're fixed rate, are they effectively distressed investments where you're getting spreads much higher than similar investments would have paid, you know, 4 years ago? Help me understand your view on your positioning in the broader credit market.
Sure, Michael, you're asking a great question. It's something we spend a lot of time on our investment committee when looking at any of these yield-oriented investments. And the answer is some are fixed rate, some are floating is the direct answer to that question. But when we're looking at anything that is a fixed rate, the spreads that we're getting are ones that we think are attractive, particularly relative to the risk. So take some of the royalty notes that John mentioned early on. Those are ones where we effectively are, you know, the senior position in the capital structure of those entities and generating, you know, returns in the teens off of established drugs with strong market positions. And those are ones where there's an amortization of principal as well as a return, you know, as well as a yield that's coming off of those on a quarterly basis. And those are all drugs and notes that if our belief is that if those notes you know, pre-financial crisis would have been trading at spreads or at rates that are significantly lower than the rates that we're being paid to hold those assets today. But that is something that is a real focus for us, you know, particularly, you know, obviously if something is shorter, if our expected duration is shorter on a particular note, then we're more willing to go with something that's fixed rate, obviously, whereas the longer the duration, the more interested we are in having it be being floating rate and obviously making sure that the absolute level of return is one that's commensurate with the risk that we're taking.
And specifically, in our current five that you see on page 12, the longer-lived ones are floating and the shorter amortizing ones are the fixed ones.
Thank you. One other question, unrelated. If you can, I've noticed one large new holder on the shareholder roster, which is the New Jersey Division of Investment. Can you give us any color on changes in the large shareholders in particular? Do you know if the estate of Lehman Brothers is lightening up on their position at all?
We obviously are not in a position to speak about any specific shareholders. You know, different shareholders make you know, disclosures for various reasons, some based upon exchange requirements, others based upon you know, their own particular regulatory regimes in which they work. You know, the Lehman estate does continue to be a meaningful holder of the company's stock. As you know, we've described publicly in the past that they were locked up for a period of time. They're no longer locked up, but they do have a right to ask the company to assist them in marketed secondary offerings at a time of their choosing. And we stand ready to assist them in market secondary offering if they would be interested in partaking in that. But one thing to note in addition is that because we have gone and repurchased shares, there is an exchange requirement. It's my understanding in both Euronext and LLC that if someone's a 5% shareholder, that they need to disclose that publicly. As we've gone and bought back shares, you could be in a position where you weren't previously a 5% holder, but because the number of shares has reduced, you become a 5% holder. So it's theoretically possible that an investor could end up becoming disclosable, not through any action of their own, but rather through the company repurchasing of shares.
Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. And there are no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone. We appreciate your interest. And as always, John, Doug, and I and our partners continue to be available to any of you at any time, so please feel free to contact any of us directly with any additional questions you may have. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.